Welcome to the Life Begins at Midlife podcast, where we pop the champagne to celebrate the unexplored joys and endless adventures that await us in the midlife. Flipping the script on what it means to hit those fabulous 40s, 50s and beyond. Because here, we don't believe in midlife crises, only midlife revolutions. Reminding you that the only thing we're letting go of at midlife is the notion that it's all downhill from here. Nope, we're here to climb higher, dream bigger, and laugh louder. Each week, we'll dive into the myths, share the truths, and unlock the secrets to making the midlife years your best years yet. From rediscovering lost passions to embarking on new adventures, we're covering it all. Expect candid conversations with inspiring guests who've turned their midlife years into their most dynamic chapter yet. We're talking to everyone from entrepreneurs who've launched successful startups from their kitchen tables to adventurers who decided age is just a number when it comes to climbing mountains or sailing the seas. So if you've ever found yourself pondering, is this all there is? Or you're just eager to embrace the richness of midlife with both arms wide open, then you, my friend, are in the right place. Grab your favorite drink, get cozy, and let's show the world that life doesn't just begin at 20, it begins again at midlife. And remember, in the Life Begins at Midlife podcast, the only rule is to live confidently, love unconditionally, and laugh uncontrollably. Let's get started. Right, so welcome to today's episode of Life Begins at Midlife, the podcast for people that are navigating transformation in the midlife journey. Today we have got Claire Deacon with us, and I'm going to open the invitation to Claire to tell us a little bit about herself.
Hi, Jackie. Thank you very much for inviting me onto this podcast. So, as Jackie said, I'm Claire Deacon, and I'm a positive psychology coach and therapist. And I set out on this new journey, midlife, for me, 6 years ago. Now, I really set out on this journey, but I guess my transformation happened prior to that, that kind of was the starting point for me in what I do. So if you want, I can talk to you about where that journey started from.
That would be wonderful, yeah, because I'm sure the listeners would like to hear a little bit more about, you know, where your journey started.
Okay, so it's interesting because the reality was I was in a place, I worked in the corporate world, I worked in financial services, I had quite a demanding job, as did my husband, and I had three young children, including twins. And I found myself, I'd got to a point in my career and in my life that I was kind of questioning how I'd landed where I was and whether I was happy with everything I had, but I didn't know what I wanted to do differently, how that could work. And I felt bit of an overwhelming, I should be happy with everything that I've got. And that's something I think we all do. We should ourselves a lot. So I should be happy. I had a nice home. I had a lovely family. I had a handsome husband. I had a good income, etc. But I was beginning to challenge from a career perspective what I was doing and looking at some alternatives, but I didn't know what that was going to look like. And to be honest, with the amount I had on with that job and with three young children, there's not a lot of time actually to take a breath and think about things. But the universe decided it was there was going to be a change in my journey, and unexpectedly back in 2016 my husband had a cardiac arrest and he passed away. So it was, I was thrown into a future that I didn't want and I didn't expect, and I really didn't know what I was going to do. And obviously I had three very young children. My twins had only just turned five and my eldest was eight. So three children who were looking at me absolutely devastated, and their world had just been torn apart, as had mine. And I was kind of stunned. And the issue was also, I had grown up in a household of domestic abuse, and there had been a series of different events throughout my life that had probably led me to believe in a lot of those shoulds in the first place of where I was before. So I now found myself that I thought I had found my happy ever after, and in one fell swoop, it had disappeared. So I found myself asking the question, why bother? Why bother? Why? What is the point of me keep on fighting? But I had three children, and I'd made a promise to my husband on that night when I had to say goodbye to him, was that our dreams for our children were still going to come true, that they weren't going to be broken, that they needed to still believe in the possibility and magic that there was in this world. So whilst I was questioning what was the point was that promise that I'd made, and I had to fight. But the key thing that happened differently for me was I made the decision that if I was going to do that fighting, then I was no longer going to be living a life where I was questioning, well, I should be happy and I should be all of this. If I was going to do it, I was going to go beyond that survival mode. And I had to thrive, which I guess fundamentally explains why I have my businesses called Happier. So I named my business because wherever you are, whatever I was doing, I was working towards that place where I was going to be happier.
And it was sense, yeah, because you need that thing to look forward to keep you going through those tough times, because you know, supporting your children and dealing with your own grief at that point in time, you know, that's a tall ask already, as well as adding to that, you know, changing anything that you're wanting to change in your work environment, because each one of those things is traumatic in itself. And you know, absolutely, you're putting it all together into one big parcel and doing it all in one go. So, yeah.
I think it's also, it's holding on to that faith of, so I had worked in strategic planning. So you can imagine, and I was a project manager trained as well. So I always had a spreadsheet and a plan and organization, and I worked, you know, with, we were looking 5-10 years ahead. So to be also in a position where I didn't know what tomorrow was going to bring was very different for me as well. So holding on to that faith as well of finding that answer, that an answer would come. I didn't know what the answer was. I just knew I had to fight and I had to explore. And I set out on a journey of really exploring and reconnecting with my fundamental values, what I understood. And I had to kind of peel back a lot of those things, because the person who people would have described me as and the things that they would say about me wasn't necessarily who I was. They were all those things that I had taken upon myself that meant I could survive, meant it could move me forward and take me forward, and was full of a lot of what I should do. So having to go back and re-explore, well, actually, who am I? And it takes a lot of courage to do that. And it also, you have to hold on. You have to hold on, and you have to get comfortable with being uncomfortable, of knowing that this is really unsettling and all of that change and all of that emotion that it brings up in you. But knowing that there is this greater purpose, greater reason, there is this place, wherever it's going to be, which was my happier, I was aiming for what that was going to be. And I had to start rebuilding those blocks and to put that picture back into place, because it wasn't going to be the picture that I thought that I would be living until I was grey and old, and that we would see our children growing up and moving on and through their journey. That's what I thought I had ahead of me. And that all fundamentally changed, as I say, overnight. So
yeah, it's having, like you say, it's having that courage to take off those should labels, you know, and then discovering yourself and trusting in that process, because you know it's completely unknown, and coming from that project management strategic background, like you say, where everything is planned out so far in advance, all of a sudden you haven't even got that stability and security to lean back on, because you know that plan that you did have has been completely thrown out the window. And even if you did try and create a new plan, you knew that you know you couldn't see far enough ahead because of what you were going through to be able to plan.
So everything I would have put on the plan previously was not something that held value for me anymore, or everything that was going to have been on that plan would have been something that I wanted and was going to be doing with my husband under the terms of the life that we had envisioned and we had mapped out together of what we were expecting to happen in our world. So it kind of tore up a rule book from which I was operating from. And so I after some time, I went back into my job in the corporate world, and I found myself sitting there finding it. I don't know why I'm here. I don't know what I'm doing this for. I didn't see any value in anything I had to do. And I was plagued by the thoughts of life's too short. I could pass away tomorrow, and I don't want this to be all that I ever did. So one of the really important things, and the thing that really I learned from it, was that I had spent so long beforehand doing all of those shoulds and thinking I should be happy with this, and I should just, and things will change, and I'll, you know, find the answer at some point, without really investing time and energy into it, thinking, oh, I'll just get more content with where I am. And the thing that frustrated me was actually all of the work that I did, and therefore unpicking. Imagine if I had done that without my husband passing away, and the opportunity that that would have presented for me. So that's kind of a message that I champion now, is that you don't need to have these kind of events to give you permission. So one of the things was, it was like I needed to have gone and sought out therapy beforehand because of other traumatic things that had happened in my life before my husband's passing. But I never gave myself permission to do that. It was like, yeah, I was kind of aware, but I never accepted that. But when my husband passed away, everyone was very encouraging. Oh, you know, well, your husband's died, so you can go and get help. And I was like, yeah, it's okay. I tick a box. I can go and find myself a therapist and counselor. But without that, I wouldn't have given myself permission. And it's like, why do we hold on to some of those things? Why do we need this excuse? You can give yourself permission today to go and get that support and help. Absolutely. That you need. Absolutely. To make those decisions.
Yeah, it's like, why do we wait for that huge event to push us down that road of actually looking, I wouldn't call it looking after ourselves, but actually taking that step to putting ourselves first and doing what we feel, putting that oxygen mask on, that old cliche, you know, it's that sort of, why do we wait for something to happen? Whether it's our own health issues or something, you know, a divorce or some kind of thing happening in our lives, why do we wait for that before we actually look around and think, oh, actually, you know, maybe I am worth putting myself, you know, out there and putting the effort into myself. You know, and it's just encouraging people out there to not wait to that and not say, oh, one day when I am, you know, my mom always used to wait until say, one day when I've retired, then I can knit up all this wool that's in my cupboard. And you just never seem to get to that time when you can do whatever that is. So, you know, rather do it today, and then, you know, you've got it in your diary.
Absolutely. So I sat at work, and I can remember I had this piece of paper, and I was like, I can leave work if I have a plan, because this is where I'm not happy, it's not fulfilling me anymore. If I have a plan to go forward, as I've said, I was a strategic planner, so I'd always been used to having a plan, but I didn't have the ability to know what that future picture looked like, because I didn't know who I was anymore and I didn't know what life looked like. So I had no plan, and I couldn't do it, but I knew I wanted to leave. So it was really interesting. So there was something that switched in me in that moment where I couldn't make the jump, because I was full of fear. I was full of fear of letting go of something that I had been doing for a significant amount of time. It was my only thing that actually still remained, because my husband wasn't a part of my career at that time. It was the only space in which his absence wasn't noted all of the time. So to let go of that seemed to be something. Why would you, strange that, why would you let go of something that was stable, that was secure, that you knew, that was comfortable and people knew you? But I couldn't get past it wasn't making me happy. So I looked at, well, okay, I'm what am I actually scared of in terms of taking the leap going forward? Well, I was scared of it all going wrong. I was scared that I wouldn't find something different, that I wouldn't find something better, and that actually I would end up in that situation, which we always ask, am I just thinking the grass is always greener on the other side? So I thought, well, if that was the case, then I could go back into the corporate world. I could go back and do that again, because actually I'd got there in the first place. So if I needed to do it again, I could. But at least I have gone out and explored it. And so all of these excuses, I started to challenge of myself. And then I asked myself a really important question. What would I be more scared of? Was I more scared of trying it and failing? Or was I more scared of not trying it and still being in that situation in a year's time? And I found myself saying, well, the one thing we have, you don't get another life. You don't get opportunity again. So that would actually be, felt like it would be a travesty for me to still be sat there with a blank piece of paper in a year's time going, well, I still can't take the leap because I still don't have the answer. And what I needed to do was to take that leap and have faith in myself that I had got myself thus far in life, that I didn't know what that future looked like, but it was something that I could only find if I gave myself that permission to go and explore it. And I think that's such an important message to get out there, is that until you invest that time, that energy, and give yourself that space, it's very difficult for you to ever build that picture.
That's it. And I don't think that you'll ever have that sense that there's something more for yourself if that's not the truth. You know what I mean? So knowing for yourself deep down that there was more for you and you had a bigger purpose in your life, that was the inner nudging that you needed as well. Because had you denied that and stuck in your job, all the people that you've helped up until now and are going to be helping in the future, they would have lost out on, you know, on that help that you've been able to give them. Okay, you would have been able to help people in the project management side of things, but you know, that's one thing. But people needed you to step up, get rid of all the shoulds, and find your true calling, if you want to put it in that way.
Yeah. And so for me, I left work, took some time out to rebuild my family and to get myself back on my feet, and then I was looking at making that decision of what I do next. And I ended up going back to university to study psychology because I knew that I really wanted to understand the journey that I had been on and how it had been evolving and how it had worked, because I'd seen such positive change in myself. And I learned all about post-traumatic growth and all of that benefit. And sitting in that lecture when they started talking about how people can come through trauma and why it happens, and they come back out again happier than they were before. And this was such a poignant moment for me, where I literally sat there thinking, that's me. That's what's happened to me. So I started exploring it more. And it's really when I found that point of my purpose, because I never understood why I was stuck in a, why do these things happen to me? Why did I have the childhood that I had? Why did I have these other events that took place in my life? And then to have lost my husband as well, why me? But what changed for me was actually I had this learning and this transformation that had happened. And it does give a kind of purpose to it, that with everything that I have experienced and gone through, that's led me to the purpose now, where I feel with my children, I have broken generational trauma that had happened, that I have taught them a different path, that they come from a perspective of positivity and hope and growth, that they won't have this mindset that they are limited because of their really young experience, that that's going to restrict them in their life opportunity and potential, that if anything, it's given them that fire that they can be anything and do anything they want. But it's also given me that strength and that determination to get that message out there to other people as well, because I can make that difference. I understand it from my own personal trauma and recovery journey, but also then learning and understanding the science that goes behind it all. So it gives me a real sense of purpose and knowing of what I wanted to do and how I wanted to do that. And that's how I build my life now. So if I find myself saying, oh, I should do that, then it's kind of a red flag that I'm going to do exactly the opposite.
Yeah, well, that's a good way of looking at it. Hey, it's seeing as the shoulds is like that red flag popping up and think, oh, come on, caution. What are we actually getting ourselves into? Because it's so easy to do the shoulds instead of the, you know, what is it that's really, you know, calling to me? And something I was shocked about, and I've probably been a little bit late in the, you know, the communications, but I heard that the UK is the second lowest in the rankings for mental health and happiness at the moment out of 71 countries. And, you know, that's quite sad and quite scary if you think about it. So, you know, if we can, you know, do our little bit that we can to promote happiness and allow people to be happier, it, you know, even if it's a couple of people and we can have that ripple effect that goes out, can you imagine, you know, what an impact we can have? And, you know, by not fulfilling our purpose and by following, you know, sticking in within the shoulds that we've been put into, we're not shining a light and being able to help people. So, yeah.
Well, so it's through growth and personal challenge. And, you know, it's proven that actually through experiencing trauma and that's where growth comes from. If everything is perfect and well in life, which I don't think that happens, you know, there is no such thing as perfection. It doesn't happen for everyone. It's actually through experiencing challenges and overcoming and tackling different things, adversity and all of this. That's where the true growth comes from. And that's where that sense of achievement comes from as well, that we've taken that step, that it gives us the motivation to take the next one and the next one and the next one. And that's where you see people really thrive. And when you look at some of the most successful people in the world as well, it's through overcoming adversity and challenge that has set them out on that path and on that journey. So the core part for me is obviously, you know, my business is named Happier, and I recently published my book Blooming Happier, which takes you through that journey. But the key message is you have the potential to go beyond survival, that we don't remain stuck in this is what I should do, or this is some kind of predestined path that I should be sat here, I should be happy with what I've got, and I should be grateful that I am safe. Because we do this comparison story as well, don't we? So I should be grateful that when my husband passed away, that I had some financial stability to me. You know, it could have been worse. I should be grateful that I was with my husband at the time. Not everybody has that opportunity. There's all of these ways in which we should be grateful for difficult times as well that have happened, that we should be grateful that it wasn't worse. And I think it's being in contact with our emotions and accepting and showing ourselves some love and compassion for those as well, and having that self-acceptance of who you are and the impact that life has on you.
Absolutely. So Claire, if you've got one pearl of wisdom that you can share with somebody that is, you know, going through that sort of stage of not quite sure, you know, what to do next, they're still stuck in the shoulds, but knowing that there's something more, what would you say to them?
Okay, so that this advice comes on the back of ensuring that you have a sense of mental stability, because you need to come from a place where you have that stability to move forward. And if you're not in that place, I encourage you to reach out and get support. You have to have faith and belief in yourself that you can do this. And your potential is endless. It's only limited by your own mindset and what you believe you're able to achieve. I think, you know, the quote that says, whether you believe you can or you believe you can't, you're right either way. Because if you don't believe that you can do something, then you won't take the action that you need to in order to move that forward. And perhaps like me, rather than focusing on the fear of what if you do it and it goes wrong, or what if you don't do it, what are you losing out on by not taking that forward? So it's finding that power and that energy in yourself to know how you can give yourself that courage, momentum to take those steps.
Yeah. And the permission. We've both given everybody the permission to step up and do what they feel they need to be doing, with obviously, like you said, the support that around them as well. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. It's been lovely having you. And I'd like to get you back at some point where we can carry on talking a little bit more about, you know, in depth on, you know, how, you know, you help people and how we can, you know, things that you've discovered through your working with different people. I will put your contact details in the show notes if anybody wants to get in touch with you. And it's been lovely to speak to you today.
Lovely to meet you too, Jackie. Thank you.
Perfect. Thanks very much.
As we wrap up another episode here at Life Begins at Midlife, we want to take a moment to extend a heartfelt thank you to our sponsor, Jackie Bourne from Purpose Unleashed. Jackie's commitment to empowering individuals on their journey of self-discovery and transformation truly aligns with the spirit of our show. Whether you're navigating the challenges of midlife, seeking clarity on your next steps, or simply looking to live a more fulfilled life, Purpose Unleashed offers the guidance, tools, and support you need to turn your aspirations into reality. For those of you feeling stuck or at a crossroads, remember, it's never too late to redefine your path and embrace the life you've always dreamed of. Visit Purpose Unleashed website to discover how you can start your transformative journey today. Let Jackie be your guide to a more vibrant, purpose-driven life. You can find this link to the website in the show notes below. And to our listeners, thank you for tuning in and sharing your time with us. Remember, every day is a new opportunity to grow, to love, and to make a difference. Until next time, keep striving, keep dreaming, and keep listening.